Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, and I know most of you are. So, hey, I hope you guys had a blessed Thanksgiving, lots of friends and family, great food. We did. I kind of checked out for a few days there, and we had a wonderful time, so much to be thankful for, which we articulated, and I meditated on that many times, how much we do truly have to be thankful for. It was a nice reprieve from the high level of alert and situational awareness that I am always maintaining, and it was just a nice break to be able to check out. And we watched Christmas Story. This weekend we watched the Christmas Story. And it was unanimous. Let's vote. What do we want to watch first? So it's Christmas movie season, and I'll probably watch one a week. And this was Christmas Story, which is kind of cool because we're going to be talking about that a little bit tonight, but also on Partisan Radio, which if you didn't listen last week, we made the announcement. We will resume the Partisan Radio podcast beginning tomorrow. Well, I'll be working on it tonight. Should have it uploaded, so when you wake up in the morning, it'll be there for you. And no, we do not have those on. You have to go to the Podbean site and download those. And there is actually an app now for Podbean, so you can get those. We do not have that on iTunes. I'm not going to put it on iTunes. It's a big pain in the keister. They changed a bunch of their rules or process, how that works. And so I don't want to deal with it. And, but that is available on Podbean. So we're looking forward to that. What did we talk? Oh, yesterday was a good show. Yesterday was the last show in that time slot. Now I need to give you guys some updates before we get to the news and commentary. Last week, I made the announcement that we are done with the Saturday show on the American Christian Network. Been doing that for 2 years, and it's been a great journey. It's been a great time, but and we've really effectively reached an audience that we would not have normally been able to reach through just doing the podcast. So we've driven a lot of listeners, welcome, by the way, to the podcast. But as soon as I made the announcement last week, I was contacted by the station management or the general manager of the American Christian Network and said, we need your message right now. There are very, very few people on terrestrial radio that are talking about the things that you talk about. And he says, let's work something out. And I told him, it's not just about the cost. It's the time. It's also the audio quality that I've been fighting with. And so he said, okay, I'll tell you what. What if we just put you on the Spokane stations on the AM and FM dial? And for a fraction of the cost, he says, we could pre-record it so you got control of the audio quality, shoot it to us Friday, and then we'll just have it queued up to play Saturday morning, and we've got a slot. If we moved it from 9 to 9:30, just do a 30-minute week in review or shining the truth on the lies from the week or something, it would maintain a presence. You can still reach the audience. It's prime time, Saturday morning, 9 to 9:30. And that would free you up on your Saturdays for all these events and Patriot events and speaking engagements and things like that that the Saturday show has been interfering with. So anyway, we negotiated throughout the week, and we came to an amicable arrangement. And so the announcement is Radio Free Redoubt will be on the Liberty Broadcasting Service, which is an affiliate of ACN, on the AM dial on AM 630 and 96.5 on FM in the Spokane, North Idaho area, Spokane, Coeur d'Alene. And also, it'll be live streaming, so you guys will be able to tune in Liberty Broadcasting Service, not ACN, but LBS, Liberty Broadcasting Service, and listen to on the app. We've got that link from the show on how to listen. You click on that, and you'll see the link. And we're going to have to update all that stuff, and we'll be doing that this week to make it reflect the new show times and links where you can listen. So that's the latest. Yesterday was our last show. From the 11 to noon time slot, the live show. And yesterday, the audio quality was great. Go figure. We had hardly any issues at all. It's just too inconsistent. I can't keep living with that. I can't. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. KTRW.com is the website where you can learn about how to listen to AM 630. And 96.5 ACN affiliates starting next Saturday, 9 to 9:30. So check it out and let me know what you think. I'm not sure how I want to do the formatting for that, but I'm going to work on that early in the week and kind of lay out a format. So that show, that 30-minute show, will still reach people, get the message out there. We can review something that will grab them, and then we'll drive them over to the podcast for the full show where we get into other deeper issues. That's what we're doing for now. After much prayer and meditation and debating and negotiating with the station manager and consulting with many other people, including Mrs. Schmidt. And so far, it looks like it's going to be a very positive change. Okay, now let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate, the author, and the 299 Days book series with all 10 books out about the collapse and the rebuilding. And by the way, if you guys didn't catch it, we did an interview with Glenn yesterday. It was really good to talk to him. We were on ACN on the show, on the air, on the radio yesterday. Did a great interview the last half hour there, just talking about, well, some of the stuff that I've been talking to you guys about, not letting up on your preps. I'm going to talk about that today in probably segment three, I think. So in international news, from Yahoo News, they've got a story here where Israeli settlers are fleeing as the West Bank wildfires spread. Now, you guys are familiar with this situation. There's actually arson terrorism. And we're not talking about some ranchers who went out there and started a backfire that got out of control and burned 150 acres of grass. No, we're talking about real arson terrorism, where Islamic extremists are setting wildfires intentionally. Now, this is part of the Al-Qaeda manual and several other terrorist organizations' different ways of waging jihad on the West. And one of those is to deliberately start arson wildfires and costing millions and millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, to fight on a nationwide scale. So keep your eyes out. Keep your eyes out when you are out and about in the wilderness. Here in the West, we spend a lot of time. We hunt, we fish, we hike, we camp, we huckleberry pick, we do a lot of outdoor activities. So have your situational awareness out about you. This is something that we could easily see. They've been calling for this for a long time. We could easily see this in the United States. There's like thousands of people are evacuating towns and whole areas of parts of the countryside. They've got 14 people in custody now. Something else to add to your situational awareness list, things to be careful of. In Venezuela, now they've got currency that is so devalued now it no longer fits in ordinary wallets. Well, okay, from Caracas, Venezuela. It's not so easy to find someone who still has a wallet in Venezuela, where inflation is expected to reach 720% this year. And the biggest bill, 100 bolivars, is worth about 5 U.S. cents on the black market. 5 cents for 100 bolivars. The currency's dropped dramatically in value as Venezuela's oil-based economy is cratered, and the government has frantically printed more money. Prices, meanwhile, are soaring, so Venezuelans must handle huge volumes of cash, so much that the bills don't always fit in a standard wallet. The owner of a tiny kiosk selling newspapers, cigarettes, and snacks in one of Caracas's nicer neighborhoods said that each evening he quietly stuffs a plastic bag full. Well, just put it in your wheelbarrow, like the Weimar Republic. Full of around 100,000 bolivars, which is about $52, because they only have notes of 10, 20, 50, and 100 bolivars. He said this is a country with one of the highest crime rates in the world, and carrying that much cash is dangerous, even if it is only worth 50 cents. He said he doesn't feel safe, despite having his own scooter rather than using public transport. Yeah, well, you're pretty vulnerable on a scooter, I can imagine. Why do we cover? We continue to cover Venezuela because their economic crisis is what many, many economic experts are warning is coming to the United States if we stay on the trend that we're on. From One News Now, Obama hastens a deal accepting 1,800 rejected Muslims. Remember what we said? He's going to go out with a bang. He's going to do as much destruction and breaking stuff as he can on the way out. This is from One News Now. Fast-tracking the Obama administration's plan to accept hordes of Islamic migrants from terrorist nations who were turned down by Australia, United States Secretary of State John Kerry worked out a covert deal to bring around 1,800 illegal aliens to the U.S. Remember, we talked about this last week with these migrants that are being held off the coast in a detention facility, holding them without letting them on the mainland. Well, the U.S. comes in and says, well, send them to us. We'll take them. And they're doing this ahead of schedule. Many high-ranking government officials are upset over the secret negotiations that many believe will put American citizens in danger, and it would be unlawful. So we've got that. You can check that out at One News Now. Another one at One News Now. A Christian school looking to relocate in Michigan to a more affordable and spacious facility was blocked by the Genoa Town Council, even though the entire community, including the township's experts, supported the move. Fighting a tight budget, Livingston Christian School was slated to move into a local facility in Brighton Church of the Nazarene, but then the town council unexpectedly rejected the application. We don't want a Christian school in our town. It's a move that could make the religious outreach close its doors for good. Now, they are filing a lawsuit. It comes down to religious liberty or placing undue burden on a religious institution, but it doesn't really say, and I've read through the article, unless I missed it, I read through twice, and I can't find a specific reason given for why they denied this Christian school being moved into the town proper. But they voted it down. They said no. And so now this Livingston Christian school stands to go out of business because they cannot afford the facility that they're at. You know, this is a good opportunity for the Christians in that community to gather around. Why can't all of the churches help fund this like a ministry? What more important thing can you invest in than the next generation and to guard them from the halls of indoctrination while they're being prepared for the spiritual battlefield? If there's anything worth all of the churches in the Christian community gathering together to support, it should be these Christian schools. So we'll see how that goes. They are in a lawsuit right now to try to get that overturned, and they feel pretty positive about it. But still cannot find, you know, what the purpose was, what their argument was for rejecting the move. Why in the world? I don't know. Here's something that's really good. This is good news. I covered this yesterday, but I'm so excited about this. I just wanted to cover it here, too. We'll have the PDF, the link on the highlights and resources posting for today's show. It's a DOD directive, number 5210.56, arming and the use of force. And this is done for the purpose of establishing policy and standards and assigning responsibilities for arming, carrying of firearms, and the use of force by DOD personnel performing security and protection, law and order, investigative or counterintelligence duties, and for personal protection when related to the performance of official duties. Oh, darn it, so close. But read on. It also, next final bullet point, provides guidance for permitting the carrying of privately owned firearms on DOD property by DOD personnel for personal protection purposes that are not associated with the performance of official duties. Hallelujah. They're actually letting our trained warfighters, trained professionals, actually be able to have personal firearms to defend themselves against, well, anything that threatens their lives, including this rash of terrorist attacks on military bases, with more called for. So this is good. This is good. Recruiters, military service members on base, off base, they should be. And here's the thing. You know, I mean, there's so much security on a military post. You could almost argue, you know, there's so much security here. You don't really need to have people armed, except, well, of course, Fort Hood would not be a very good argument against that. What, 44 people killed? Shot? Before, you know, law enforcement, military, police got there. But here's the deal. When you go out that gate unarmed, because you can't have a personal arms on your person while on base, when you go out that gate, they don't follow you around to protect you. You're on your own. They are not going to escort you to your apartment or to the movies or anywhere else where it would be fine for you carrying a firearm, but you can't have it with you because you can't have it on base. I also thought that'd be a good business to have a gun shop right off base with a like a gun locker, gun storage, personal firearms. So guys that live off base, live off post, they just pull through the drive-through, hand you the tag. They're, you know, registered with you, lock the sucker up, and they come out the gate getting off duty. They drive through, they get their firearm, and boom, they're gone. Beautiful. It would be great service. But anyway, well, regional news in the American Redoubt. Well, Redoubt News, actually, they've got a good article. Fake news? The U.S. government is the biggest culprit. From Redoubt News, there's the more devious kind of news story circulated by one of the biggest propagators of fake news, the U.S. government. In the midst of the media's sudden headline blaring apoplexy over fake news, you won't hear much about the government's role in producing, planning, and peddling propaganda-driven fake news, often with the help of the corporate news media, because that's not how the game works. Why? Well, they explain in the article. So go over there and read it yourself. Pretty good. They do a good job. Great job. Redoubtnews.com. Now, before I let Fox 519 run away with this, I want to remind you that we are giving away another official Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock and this thing which tells time. We're going to be giving another one away December 18th. If you are 17 years old or younger, this is a youth training exercise using the one-time pad. More details will be forthcoming. So check that out. Last night, we watched the night before last, we watched the Christmas Story, and Mrs. Schmidt says, "What is this thing that tells time? What is that?" Well, that's how he actually says it. And the school teacher reads his thesis, his essay, "What I Want for Christmas." So she's reading it in his dream. You know, he's fantasizing about, you know, sure, the teacher just loving this piece of artwork, this writing, this thesis. And this compass in the stock and this thing which tells time. Well, this thing which tells time is actually a sundial, which is why the compass comes in. It's not just so you for navigating. It's actually for telling time. You orient the compass so that it's facing north. The sundial is facing north. And you place an item, a pencil, a bullet, or some other vertical device on the center of the sundial. And wherever the sun's pointing tells you what time it is. So pretty cool. Actually, you point it south. You orient the sundial so it's facing south. But you got to have a compass to do that. And there's a compass in the stock. Pretty cool. And this is a very rare, difficult to get your hands on collector's edition from the Daisy Museum. And we were able to get one last year. I was blown away. And this year we had a listener pull some strings, do his covert action, and legally acquired another Christmas Dream edition of the Daisy Red Ryder BB gun. Pretty cool. Okay, more details on that when we cover that in Partisan Radio tonight. Fox 519 with the eye on the economy, and then we'll be back with segment two. Don't go away.
19,152. That's where the Dow finished before the Thanksgiving holiday, and now has many experts concerned with how high the market could really go. We know it's already overinflated. And this week, an eye on the economy will be looking at the high possibility of a Fed rate increase that could cause some serious problems for that market. So sit back, hold on to your wallets, as I bring you the financial news and commentary that affects your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. You smell that? Yeah, that's coffee. Not just any coffee. That's Sister's Coffee Roasters coffee. The rich aroma of the custom roasted beans. You know what I'm talking about. There just isn't a morning that is right unless you have had a good cup of coffee to start your day. Why would you start it off with a bad cup of coffee? It's the thing that gets you out of bed and ready for a busy day of prepping. It's time for you to step up your coffee game and order your roasted or unroasted beans for your food storage from sisterscoffeeroasters.us. You want to get the best coffee in the readout? Again, sisterscoffeeroasters.us. That's two sisters, one great cup of coffee. sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Welcome back. This week I watched a video by the famous Patriot nurse titled, Did Donald Trump Kill Preppy? And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say yes, to a certain extent. Now, there'll be a fair portion of you out there who will ferociously disagree with me, but think about it. Has he? Are people content with the victory from our side? Are some claiming that he's going to solve our problems because he's not a Washington, quote, insider? Well, yes, they are. And guess what? He's not going to solve our problems. Our economic problems are great and terrible. We are worse off than we've ever been, and now experts are starting to say a recession is coming in 2017, and it could be very bad. But bigger than this, the Fed rate hike could be coming on December 14th. The far-reaching impacts of that rate hike could cause tremendous ripples, and here's just a few ways that it could affect you. A positive way, it could be a boost for savers. Yes, we have been seeing some absolutely terrible savings rates, but again, that's not where your savings should be. An expected quarter-point increase by the Fed won't put much in the average saver's account, but at least it would offer something to the masses before the bottom falls out. A word of warning, though. If the Fed finds good reason to raise the rates, it might only be the first step in that of many. But don't be stupid enough to get your money locked up in a CD. That's a temptation you need to avoid. And don't be sucked in by the new rate. Number two, mortgage rate hikes. The mortgage rate is directly tied to the U.S. 10-year Treasury bond. So if you're planning on to buy or refinance here in a little bit, consider locking in that rate now. Yes, it may not matter in the long run when the economy falls out and there's no banks to enforce those loans. But on the other hand, if you have an adjustable rate mortgage, your monthly payment could significantly move higher if we start to see this trend. And lots of folks with a 10-year balloon mortgage coming due could be in for quite a shock. After all, we are back at pre-2008 bad mortgage levels again. Credit card rate shock. Finance charges on credit cards are already stratospheric, but if a headline rate hike could give issuers excuse to make you pay more. Don't be foolish. Get rid of those cards if you can, and do not plan on adding anything to your card balances during the coming holiday shopping season. Nothing is worth that. Number four, stock market jitters. Here's the most realistic one. In the past, when the Fed even hinted at a rate increase, the market sold off. Does anybody remember what happened earlier this year in March, or excuse me, in August? We were headed towards that 20% decrease mark, a major indicator of financial collapse. The idea that even higher rates would be bad for business and profits and at higher interest rates could make savings, you know, more attractive than taking the investment risk because rates are going to be higher at the banks. How about this one? Job uncertainty. Number five. Here's the real risk of higher interest rates. Businesses need confidence that the economy is growing. With 1% GDP and the debt of 1,100% of that, minimum wage going up all over the country due to the liberal left getting their agenda down to ruinous, this will cause huge losses of confidence and that the businesses will go under. And when confidence is lost, businesses retreat and cutting jobs following that. Yes, there is no certainty the Fed will raise rates in December, but there are plenty of reasons for it to hold off. But the five reasons above would give me pause if I were Janet Yellen. But then again, we have no idea of who Trump wants in that chair. Truly, our future lands in the hands of the Lord. It's a calming thought. Well, I know for me it is. I can't imagine what it's like on the liberal left. Well, thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout. This is Fox 519, signing off. God bless.
Segment 2 of Radio Free Redoubt, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots get strategically relocated to the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho. Check them out at selkirkmountainrealestate.com. Christian patriot-owned business. My email is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com, and that's our website, radiofreeredoubt.com. Now let's get to, let's see, what was I going to talk about here? I am supposed to remind you, I keep getting tapped on the shoulder here by, not literally, I keep getting texts and emails from Pauly01. Don't forget to mention the Amazon link, the affiliate link. Yes. It's Christmas. Look, Cyber Monday is tomorrow. So when you guys do your shopping, there's some great deals like on Amazon. .com. We have an affiliate link. Before you do any shopping, go to radiofreeredoubt.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see a banner that says Amazon. That's an affiliate link. So you click on that link and then go to Amazon, then do your shopping. And with the affiliate program that we have, they pay us a small percentage. It's small, but it all adds up. So just keep that in mind. It helps support Radio Free Redoubt and the growing costs, and we are growing faster than we can keep up with. And that really does help us. And it doesn't cost you anything more. It doesn't change one iota the cost of the item. It's just that instead of them pocketing that, they kick us 35 cents or 50 cents or whatever it is, depending on the item. I have been a little giddy lately because a communist tyrant oppressor has moved on and is out of the earth. One more down. I lost count. How many more to go? But the people were pouring out into the streets in Miami, little Cuba, little Havana, celebrating. Now, I've got family members that are escapees from Cuba. They hate communism. They will tell you all about that. Make a good interview. But anyway, these people are stoked right now. That doesn't mean it's not a communist country. But these people remember what happened when they were living under communism. What so many millennials have forgotten, what this generation of Bernie Sanders people or Hillary supporters, they don't understand what it is they're begging for. And it's really interesting. Pay attention to the world leaders that show up for this. You know they're going to have a big funeral. They're going to make a big to-do of it. Pay attention to what world leaders go to this funeral and sob and act all forlorn and melancholy and long-faced over the loss of a murderous tyrant, a communist dictator. And I found this article at Reason.com, 5 terrible responses to Fidel Fidel Castro's death from world leaders. I still haven't seen Obama's reaction here, but politicians and tyrants alike heap praise on the despot who ruled over an island prison nation. Where was the number five? Here are the five worst reactions from international political leaders to Castro's death. This is Michael Higgins, Ireland's president. Having survived some 600 attempts on his life, Fidel Castro, known to his peers in Cuba as El Comandante, became one of the longest-serving heads of state in the world, guiding the country through a remarkable process of social and political change, advocating a development path that was unique and determinedly independent. First, as an authoritarian dictator, by definition, Higgins' praise of the length of Castro's reign is spectacularly dumb, and as is his claim that a country which relied on the financial largesse of the Soviet Union and later Venezuela was ever determinedly independent. Good point. European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker, in a statement that reads like it was produced by a bot employed by a crumbling bureaucracy, the president of the European Union's executive body wrote, "With the death of Fidel Castro, the world has lost a man who was a hero for many. He changed the course of his country, and his influence reached far beyond. Fidel Castro remains one of the revolutionary figures of the 20th century. His legacy will be judged by history." Yeah, his murderous, controlling, tyrannous legacy. Number three, Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. He says, he tweeted, I extensively talked with Fidel Castro in person. It is his personality to believe and rely on people. Okay. Number two, United Kingdom's Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn said, "The UK's opposition party leader conceded Castro had flaws, though he wouldn't name them, but insisted in a statement that Castro was a champion of social justice." That's right out of the communist playbook, champion of social justice. So, of course, United Kingdom's Labour Party. Anytime you see Labour Party or Labour Union or workers this, workers that, it's communist. It has communist ties. And the number one, drum roll, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Obama's mini-me. Everyone's favorite woke boyfriend released in a statement calling Castro a remarkable leader who served his people for almost half a century. Served them. I think it's the other way around. They served him. As the country's longest-serving president. Wow, what an accomplishment. Yeah, when you don't have elections or you rig the elections. Now, that should tell you something right there. There's something wrong when the president keeps getting elected for 55 years or however long it was. A feat less impressive when you factor the fact that Castro's one-party government never held a free election. That's what I just said. Trudeau conceded Castro was a controversial figure, and then inexplicably decided to speak for both Castro's supporters and detractors, who he says recognized his tremendous dedication and love for the Cuban people, who had a deep and lasting affection for El Comandante. That is one dude that is out of touch. Canadians Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Amazing. I want you to hear from somebody from Cuba. They had a little bit different sentiment. And this is from a Cuban immigrant, who fled communism. And he gave testimony. I've played this before. It's been a while. He gave testimony to a city council who was considering some gun control measures. And they wanted public input and allowed for citizens to make a statement to them before they made their decision. From the heart of someone who fled Cuba's longest-lasting presidency, take a listen to this, and then we'll go to a break, and we'll be back with segment three.
My name is Manuel Martinez, born in Cuba. American citizens for more than 40 years. I oppose any manipulation, any regulation, elimination, or disturb of the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. In 1959, a revolution with individuals, malicious individuals, masquerading as Democrats, revolutionaries, established a regime, a dictatorial regime in my nation, called communism, socialism, Stalinism, Marxism, and whatever the name ism you want to put it. The reason was done to take away the guns from the people, the right of the people to wear guns. That is a God-given right. It's not given by anybody. It's not given by any group. It's the same thing as freedom, which is a God-given right, and no one, absolutely no one, has the authority to take it away. Disease, to defend the Second Amendment and my God-given rights of freedom will cease only with my death. I've been through it. I've been there. You people don't know what freedom is because you never lost it. You haven't been the tortures. You haven't been the assassinations. You haven't been mothers begging for the life of their son not to be killed because the only reason they want is to be free. And they kill the mothers and they kill the son. So my way to protest, the way to oppose, is because if we're tangling with the Second Amendment, we are open the same way that Cuba was open for communism, China, Poland, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Venezuela, on and on. A dictatorial regime that will destroy this country in the same way that destroyed these ones, those ones that I mentioned to you. Gun control, do not protect anybody. Don't protect the citizens. Don't protect the people. The only reason for the gun control is the government to protect from them citizens. In that way, the government can vassalage, manipulate the people and subjugate them. That's what happened in Cuba for 52 years, 54. I came here for freedom. At the time I came here was different. This country opened the arms for me. I couldn't get it in Cuba. And they opened the arms for me. I probably wouldn't get it here today. I hope that I get clear with you and you understand my point of view. I think that's conclude my testimony.
Mr. Martinez, thank you very much for coming forward. Are there any questions?
He was the grandson of the great Jonathan Edwards, but Aaron Burr was nothing like him. Elected vice president in 1800 under Thomas Jefferson, sitting Vice President Burr had a pistol duel with rival Alexander Hamilton, killing him. Dueling was illegal, and Burr should have done time for murder, but somehow he avoided prosecution. Later, Aaron Burr raised a small army and tried to steal the new Louisiana Purchase with plans to rule over his own country. President Jefferson had him arrested and tried for treason. But Aaron Burr skated on a technicality. Crime and politicians have gone together since the beginning. Is it any wonder that voters doubt today that Hillary Clinton will ever see the inside of a federal penitentiary? Let's petition God for righteousness in our government and vote to that end. It's the last step before the pitchforks and torches come out. This is Bruce DeLay with Heartland Church, Tulsa, and this is your Patriot Moment.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Initiating startup sequence.
Segment 3 brought to you by Come and Take It, Katie Armor. Go to katiearmor.com for your body armor needs. They've got the hard plates, front, back, sides, and they've got the soft armor and plate carriers as well at katiearmor.com. And that is also a Patriot-owned business that Redoubted from occupied territory moved into the heart of the American Redoubt. Great supporters, and we appreciate them being out there. And they are, well, they're supporting people in ways that we just can't even really go into, but we are very grateful for them. They definitely are a business worth supporting. Check them out, katiearmor.com. Now, you guys heard the news this week. I talked about this yesterday. The Clinton campaign now will participate in the state recounts. Clinton campaign will participate in Stein's state recounts. Now, what was this flack they were giving Trump about? No matter who wins, will you support the candidate who wins? And he said, we'll have to see if there's fair elections first. Oh, that's just preposterous. Oh, he won't accept the American people's choice. This is a problem right there. Really? That's because you thought you were going to win. But the Hildebeest lost, and now they're going to participate in the call for recounts across the states. This was brought up last weekend when I spoke to a group of patriots. I talked about this yesterday, and the question came up, what happens with the death threats, the coercion, extortion, who knows, blackmail, whatever they're trying, any of those possibilities. But we do know that they're putting pressure and calling for death threats. They, I mean the general public and leftists, are making social media and other calls calling for death threats or death wishes against those electoral college voters who live in states where it is legal for you to change your vote. They're saying you better change your vote. You better change your vote to Clinton. In the meantime, the Clinton campaign is pushing for these states to have recounts. We challenge these numbers. This is where things could get real dicey. What would happen if a number of electoral college votes change their votes because of this pressure? That is tampering with elections. Voter intimidation, voter fraud, and unlawfully affecting the election process. That's illegal. Now, of course, the Clinton campaign won't be tied to any of that. It'll just be a bunch of individuals acting on their own, so their hands will be clean. But what happens if on December 19th, they make an announcement and officially claim Clinton to be the winner? There is a quote by Thomas Jefferson I want to read to you. He says, "Once a republic is corrupted, there is no possibility of remedying any of the growing evils but by removing the corruption and restoring its lost principles. Every other correction is either useless or a new evil? Thomas Jefferson. We do have a republic that is corrupted on so many levels. We have to remove the corruption. Now, what happens if it is so corrupt that you cannot remove it because of the coercion of forcing, let's say, for example, forcing Electoral College voters to change their vote? This system, this global system, is so desperate right now. They are capable of doing desperate things. And I talked about this yesterday with the interview with Glenn Tate, and he is in absolute agreement. Do not let up. Do not let up with praying. Do not let up with your preparations to become self-reliant. This is a time when it's easy to say, whoa, I was going to go get an M4 and some ammo for it, but now that Trump's in, we won't have to worry about it. I'll wait till prices come down. When? Next summer? What if we don't make it to next summer with Trump as the president? What if these guys do something so shocking that changes everything? You know what would happen to an M4 going from, I saw Black Friday sales, $499, $500 for a brand new M4 out the door. That's going to go to $2,500 if Hillary gets in, or if any type of uncertainty hits us. You may not be able to get one at all, at any price, if we're hit with a cyber attack. There are adversaries that are planning for this. We know the Russians and the Chinese and suspected North Koreans and Iranians have already infiltrated our telecommunications grid and our power grid and the computer infrastructure that maintains that. And it's estimated now that they could at will flip the switch on our telecommunications through cyber attacks. We're not even talking EMPs. That would change everything. Then there is no waiting for the next gun show. Then I'll get an AR-15 or an AK-47 or some other type of combat rifle, which every American should have in their household anyway. Just like Switzerland, every male has a combat rifle and ammunition for it. That's part of their duty as a citizen. You get that? But I will say this, there is no more of a vulnerable time period than a transition of power. We are very vulnerable right now, and we're vulnerable to who knows what type of scheming and maneuvering and conniving actions are taking place or being planned in dark corners around the world by a very desperate world system who sees Trump and his administration as a dire threat. There is nothing that is outside the realm of possibility for these people. A cyber attack or an EMP or something catastrophic could be just the mechanism that they need to maintain power. Not to mention, we have a communist-backed revolution that's brewing on our streets that they are ramping up for to come to the full head on Inauguration Day. So, these are your marching orders. Increase your food storage. Whatever it is, increase it. Medications. Get medications that you would not be able to get in a grid down situation. Your firearms and ammunition, take advantage of the low prices. Ammunition's dropping and firearms are dropping. Right now is never a time for the ability to defend your family and your community against a whole plethora of potential threats. And here's the thing. A combat rifle is something you will probably never need, but also something that if you are ever in need of it, there is no substitute. So just let that sink in. Top off your fuel and your batteries this week. top everything off, all your fuels, your fuel storage, your gas additive. That's something that I'm doing this week here at the Readout Ranch. We're working on topping off all my batteries, which I think they all are, but I'm going to double check. And I'm going to make sure all my fuel canisters are topped off. And I'm going to get some fuel additive for that and be in place. Test fire my generator. Hey, winter's coming. We're expect to snow here at the Readout Ranch in the next 24 hours. So overnight. So, you know, ice storm, anything. We lived for 5 days, almost more than 5 days, grid down last year, last November. The big windstorm that came through. And we got to test our stuff out. All right, let's take a break. Come back with the final segment four, and then we'll wrap up. So thanks for tuning in. You are listening to the voice of the American Redoubt, and we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. It was a wonderful 4th of July, honoring the sacrifices of those who gave us a chance at freedom 233 years ago, which is why I want to tell you the story of the deciding vote for independence, a hero by the name of Caesar Rodney. Caesar Rodney was a Delaware delegate to the Continental Congress in 1776. After debating for months about independence, the president, John Hancock, called for a vote on July 1st. Those present decided that the vote would have to be unanimous, all colonies voting for the declaration. The tally of that first vote was 9-4, 2 against, 1 abstaining, and 1 tie. Delaware had 1 delegate for and 1 delegate against. John Hancock decided that they would have one more vote just after lunch the following day. If the vote failed, they would all go home. Anticipating another Delaware split, an express rider was dispatched to Dover to fetch Caesar Rodney. The rider arrived just after midnight. Caesar got dressed and saddled his horse for the 70-mile ride to Philadelphia. On a normal day, this would have been a difficult ride, but that night was especially treacherous. A massive thunderstorm turned the dirt road into a quagmire. And Caesar arrived in Philadelphia just after 1 p.m., covered head to toe in mud and so weak from the journey, two men had to carry him into Independence Hall. The vote had already started, with 11 colonies voting for independence, New York abstaining, and Delaware again split. As Caesar Rodney was carried through the door, John Hancock looked up and asked, "Mr. Rodney, how do you vote?" Very quietly, he replied, "It is the sentiments of my countrymen for independence, so I vote aye for independence." But the story continues. Caesar Rodney was suffering from a disfiguring cancer of the jaw and knew by casting a yes vote, the English would immediately invade, crushing any hope of seeing a doctor in England. He consciously decided to lay down his life for his country. Would we sacrifice our lives for freedom? What kind of patriots are we? We should be like Caesar Rodney. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Segment 4 is brought to you by StrategicLandscapeDesign.com, helping you plan your landscaping with forethought so that you can integrate the primary needs of food production, water access, energy supply, and security features, all of those things that are crucial into your long-term viability. They help you design that anywhere in the country. You've got a project, contact them right away. Go to StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. Some of the services include water rights permitting assistance. That's a big one. Water wars are coming. It's already happening. It's already happening, actually. But before it comes to a neighborhood or a ranch near you, make sure that you have full access to your water. I learned some stuff. That'd be a good interview, actually, also. I'm just thinking of all these interviews. Okay. property assessments, master planning, greenhouse design, edible forest garden design, water storage and access planning, alternative energy planning, and tactical landscaping. All that and more at Strategic Landscape Design. I got something this week I've been meaning to get, and I was so impressed with this group of patriots, Northeast Washington, that I spoke with. They meet regularly, and they have a library of videos and books that anybody can they pitch in from their dues, and they buy information about their heritage and history and just knowledge. So one of the videos that they have, I've been meaning to get forever because it's right down my alley. It's a WorldNet Daily Films production, and it's called Disinformation: The Secret Strategy to Destroy the West. It's the true story of a Soviet bloc spy chief. WorldNet Daily left the dark side to shine a light on the greatest source of political evil in today's world. Now, I've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, but this is someone different. This is a different production. So I got the DVD, and it's sitting there unopened. And I am looking forward to watching it this week, and I want to do a review on it next week. And I'd like to cover some of these different resources that are out there to help you stay informed. Something you could buy for yourself, enjoy, and pass on to others. Or, you know, give out. Let them borrow. Sign it out. Borrow it. Give it back. Let's discuss it. And then find someone else to give it to. So over at Amazon.com, we'll put an affiliate link in there so you can go right to it. How's that? WorldNet Daily Films, or WND Films, and Emmy-winning filmmaker Stan Moore present a riveting new feature-length film documentary, Disinformation: The Secret Strategy to Destroy the West. It's the amazing true story of a top Soviet bloc spy chief who, at great risk, left the dark side to shine a light on the greatest source of political evil in today's world. Living in the U.S. under a protected identity due to assassination threats, General Ion Mihai Pasepa reveals the secret strategies that to this day are undermining and destroying Western civilizations. The documentary includes rare interviews, dramatic footage, and high-level insider information. Besides dramatically profiling the life and revelations of Lieutenant General Ion Mihai Pasepa, the two-disc DVD illustrates major communist disinformation campaigns that still serve to fan the flames of Islamic Jihad, turn Americans against their own country, and demonize Christianity. Okay, I'll let you read the rest on your own, but another site that I enjoy watching and following occasionally is called DefeatCommunism.com. There's an article there I'll link in the highlights and resources posting. It's a KGB SVR FSB Disinformation and Active Measures. So KGB Disinformation and Active Measures. We've talked about this the last couple of weeks. This is very calculated and very deliberate. What's happening? You know, what we're being led into in this country, the division that we see. This is very intentional by adversaries that hate America and what it stands for. I want to read to you a quote. I won't tell you who it's from at first. I'll wait till the end. The communists must be prepared to make every sacrifice and, if necessary, even resort to all sorts of cunning schemes and stratagems, to employ illegal methods to evade and conceal the truth. The practical part of communist policy is to incite one enemy against the other. We communists must use one country against the other. My words were calculated to evoke hatred, aversion, and contempt, not to convince, but to break up the ranks of the opponent, not to correct an opponent's mistake, but to destroy him, to wipe his organization off the face of the earth. This formulation is indeed of such a nature as to evoke the worst thoughts, the worst suspicions about the opponent. Vladimir Lenin. And his vision, had been carried out through the Cold War, and it is today. Out of these principles of Leninism, the contemporary Soviet concept of dezinformatsiya, or disinformation, has evolved. The Russians define disinformation as the dissemination of false and provocative information. If you want to see an example of this, look at the mainstream's coverage of Trump versus Hillary presidential election campaigns. There's a perfect example of it in the practical sense. According to recent defectors, KGB active measures received increased attention and resources during the Gorbachev era. Their information indicates that the size and importance of Service A expanded during the late 1980s and early 90s. KGB active measures techniques include the use of agents of influence, forgeries, covert media placements, and controlled media to covertly introduce carefully crafted arguments, information, disinformation, and slogans into the discourse in government media, religious, business, economic, and public arenas in targeted countries. And make no mistake about it, the United States is a targeted country. These operations were characterized as black because the Soviet role was totally concealed. These KGB operations were carried out by members of Line PR, political intelligence, in Soviet residencies, the KGB units in Soviet embassies in foreign countries. Okay, let's look at this. Slogans into the discourse in government media, religious, business, economic, and public arenas in targeting countries. Break those down. Media. The media in America has been completely infiltrated by communist-style rhetoric, propaganda, and disinformation. And many of them funded by leftists like Soros, who himself is boasted of contributing to the fall of nations. And United States is target number one. They've affected the religious aspects of our culture. Now we have, even from the pulpit, compromising messages telling us to tolerate things that even God clearly doesn't tolerate and has told us not to tolerate. Acceptance of things that we should not be accepting. It's a watering down of the gospel, and even partnering the government with a godless administration, this Obama administration, through the DHS, partnering with clergy to deal with extremists or fundamentalists. Fundamentalists. If you believe the Bible is the word of God, and that we are to adhere to it, you're a fundamentalist. In the business world, we see advancing immorality. We see the silencing or discriminating against those who hold to traditional beliefs and morals. Look at the businesses that declared that they were going to boycott North Carolina or South Carolina for its transgender bill, North Carolina. Oh, we're not going to move our business to your state now. We're going to punish you. We're not going to hold these NCAA basketball tournaments in your state now. We're going to hurt you economically, which is another component, economics. Now, at the strategic level, we're doing business with communist countries now who are violators of human rights, murderers of children. We have unreasonable regulations and union wages and trade agreements that are driving our manufacturing jobs out of the country. We're strangling our own industries with regulations under the climate change cult that outsourced countries aren't held to. Totally different standards. But we'll strangle our own manufacturing ability and drive the jobs out of the country to other countries where those climate change standards are not held to. In the public arenas, the communists have dominated. In social media, you see it even. Attacks on traditional values and morals, destroying the character of the founding fathers of our country. Our founding documents, even, they're antiquated. They were rich white slave owner documents. They just don't belong in today's America. Not from what America was intended to be, But what America, what we want America to be, that's what the left is saying. These people, these fundamentalist right-wing extremists, are preventing America from being what we want it to be. That's their statement. We're standing in the way of progress. And now you've got this system that's demonizing anyone who won't embrace immorality or who won't abandon their values. And they call us haters, intolerant, closed-minded, bigots, xenophobes. And they say, who are you to judge? That's the free-for-all card. You can just get away with anything. It's like anybody who stands up for it, say, this is the type of immorality we cannot allow in our... Oh, who are you to judge? You're a hater. But we've seen time and again the most hateful, vitriolic, closed-minded, bigoted, xenophobic people are the left wing, are the globalists and the communists. So, yeah, the communists have made a pretty good impact. I'm looking forward to watching this DVD and talking about it. And I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on it. Some of you guys already have this or will be getting it soon. Christmas present to yourself. There you go. All right. Disinformation. That's my assignment this week. Okay, I'm going to sign off, and I'm going to start working on partisan radio. And I'm looking forward to that. And I know many of you guys are. I got a ton of emails from people saying, yay, bring it back. It's about time. Awesome. I miss partisan radio. Well, it's back. We're going to deal with communications of all types. Communications for the partisan, the prepper, the patriot. And history, technical issues, reviews, lots of good stuff. And I'll be talking about this youth one-time pad challenge for the giveaway. We've got some other prizes too I'm going to announce in partisan radio, so hopefully you guys be able to tune in and learn more. Anyway, with that, you guys have a blessed week. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your letters of encouragement, your feedback, your constructive criticism, and helping me out as well. With that, this is the voice of resistance against everything that sets itself against our values and our traditional American heritage. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.